Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wait for it. Here comes the best part. Great part. It's coming right now. Building up to a crescendo. Right there. Oh, yes. It is Mark After Dark on WEI. The Midnight Express is underway until 1 in the morning. I appreciate all you midnight crazies joining me in the Midnight Express Hour as we rock and roll into Tuesday. It's a brand new day. 617-779-7937. You gotta love it. All right, back to the phones. I'm gonna go to Alex in DC. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Mark. Great show.
Thank you.
You're great. Don't hang up. I want to go back and forth with you a little bit here.
But yeah, sure.
Couple things you said that sort of went with me.
Just don't ask me where I went to middle school.
No, I won't. Or high school.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like the other caller. So number one, talking about the speed of the players, I don't care about the speed. The only speed I care about is two speed in the NFL. The speed of the coaching process, thought process, and the quarterback, how quick he reads the defense. And we win on both counts.
True.
When you talk about the five teams better than the Pats, you must be joking, man. I mean, we got Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time. And you don't think he knows the weakness of Jimmy G? He'll destroy Jimmy G if they played him. On a neutral field in the Super Bowl, he'll destroy them. Jimmy G will have no chance. I mean, if you watch the game against Seattle, he threw four balls that should have been picked off the last drive they even had. When they play the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, I grew up in D.C. I'm in D.C. right now. I saw another guy, RG3, 20 touchdowns, 5 picks his first year, 800-some yards rushing, 7 TDs rushing that year. Unbelievable. What happened? He got hurt.
He did.
Running quarterbacks don't last in the NFL. Russell Wilson, yes, he runs.
But Alex, here's the thing. Look at a year ago when Lamar Jackson took over for Joe Flacco, and look at him now. He stays in the pocket more.
No doubt. But they got every game I watch him, because in Baltimore, I go to games up in Baltimore. He rushes 5 to 7 designed runs a game, and today he got walloped on the run to the sideline. One of those hits, he's not going to last, man. I'll take Sony Michel and the offensive lineman we got.
Alex, don't say that. Don't say that.
Hold on, I'll tell you why. This guy's not going to last.
Well, that's the criticism.
Let me ask you two questions. When's the last time the NFL MVP won the Super Bowl? Number one, because this guy's a presumptive MVP. He's not going to win the Super Bowl. And number two, when is the last time a rushing quarterback has won the Super Bowl? And don't tell me Russell Wilson, because he's a guy who scrambles.
In his pocket.
To throw the pass. But this guy runs. They have design runs. They did the same thing RG3. And RG3 got his knee blown up. This guy is not going to last.
But here's the thing. Alex, if he starts to revert and stays mostly in the pocket and doesn't take those hits in the other. I'm just saying. But I get, for this year, I understand that he runs. He still runs too much. But if he reverts to, because I noticed that before with a lot of guys, that Michael Vick's first 5-6 years in the NFL, all he did is just take off and run. okay, first going through my first read, not there. Second read, I'm gone. This guy is a lot more careful. Now, if he continues to take shots, and you look what's happened to Cam Newton over a decade. Cam Newton is nowhere near the player he was because he took too many shots. I get it, but he's got to stay in the pocket more. And he's been pretty damn, I mean, five touchdown passes tonight. Five. And we're not talking about runs. I'm talking about passes. His Monday night debut, five touchdown passes. Think of every quarterback who's played on Monday Night Football, from Joe Namath, Ken Stabler, John Elway, Dan Marino, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, John Elway. None of them could throw five touchdown passes in their debut on Monday Night Football. That's unbelievable. Against a team who, yeah, they're nowhere near as good as they were a year ago, but this is a team who, they went to the Super Bowl last year. I guess Ndamukong Suh was that much of a loss because they're nowhere near as good, and they look like such a fraud. I bet you if they could get the receipt back on the money that they paid for Jared Goff, they would love to do that. They would love to do it. But I'm telling you right now, there are four teams in the NFL, four of them, that I would take over the Patriots today. I'm not kidding you. Baltimore, San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans. And don't tell me Bill Belichick will coach, out-coach Sean Payton. Don't tell me that. I mean, Belichick's awesome. So's in Sean Payton, as long as he's not getting screwed over by the refs. Okay? That's all I'm saying. All right. Carlos in Brockton. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Not much. Lamar, I guess, is the Patriot antidote for all the Patriots haters. I mean, yeah, he's great, but let's, like Bill Parcells said years ago, let's put away the anointment oil. I mean, he did beat the Patriots, but they had 2 weeks to prepare. He was at home. They scripted what, the first 15 plays. He executed. Let's wait until this guy has some adversity and see how he reacts. Right now, everything's great. I mean, he's a great talent. I mean, he was the best quarterback. He was the best quarterback that out of the five last year, and he was the last one picked. But I want to see him in New England. You said there's four other teams?
Right.
And what? I'm sorry, maybe three or four of them in the National League? Well, you know, make sure they show up in Miami, and then they'll have their chance.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody nationally just wants to knock off the Patriots, but they can't do it. I mean, whether Brady doesn't have an offense, they can't run the ball. Remember, one key figure that's missing, I don't know if he's coming back, is James Devlin.
No doubt. They missed him.
He blew up everybody in the hole. I mean, granted, we don't have a tight end that impacts the middle of the field, but if we find a tight end you're not going to find one, but if somehow, I forgot his name, Watson can do something, I don't think he can, but I just think, I can't wait to see Baltimore in New England if we're fortunate to play in January.
Well, that's the thing, and the Patriots have not lost a home game since October 1st, 2017. It's been over 2 years. They lost at home to the Carolina Panthers. Carlos, thanks for the phone call. But at home, they're going to have a distinct advantage. And that's the key. You know, don't lose this Sunday. Don't lose the next Sunday to Kansas City. And I don't see you losing the remaining three games to the Bengals or Bills. That's for sure. Ain't no way that's going to happen. At least, no. I don't see that. But the next two games are everything. And this Sunday night's going to be tough. It'll be Houston's Super Bowl, and they need a big win in a big way. Wayne in Southie, what's up, Wayne?
Mark James, what's up, brother?
Hey, dude.
I just want to get this on document right now. Brady, you have to pick Brady or Lamar Jackson. Who are you picking?
For what? For the future or this year?
No. For the Super Bowl, if they're in the Super Bowl.
Brady.
If they were in the Super Bowl together, I know they can't be in the Super Bowl together, but who would you take?
Brady.
You would take Brady, right?
Yep.
I love C-Muck. Now, real quick, you got Elo Crow. because, hey, that wind and that stuff coming down. Have you ever seen a game like that, Mark James, where literally it looked like a hurricane was out there?
Yeah, it was bad. It did not look like a good game, and it certainly.
And the Patriots pulled it out. Sony Michel, 85 yards. Isaiah Wynn comes in. We get rid of that doormat, Newhouse. We put him in, insert him, and look at 85 yards. And he caught the last what we needed to win the game, to get the first down, win the game. And I don't know what the referees are talking. Brady threw that ball way up high in the air. That clock ran out. 1 second, trying to do a Miami. They were trying to do a Miami miracle again. Did you see that, Jam?
Yeah, I saw that. That was But you know what, though? What about the bad calls against the Cowboys for tripping?
Yeah, you were talking about the tripping.
Come on.
You know that Bill Belichick had that on film and showed the referees, like a week before that or something, when he knew they were playing them. He showed the referees what these guys do, and he said, keep an eye on it. And that's how they caught him doing those two tripping things. They did trip him, Mark.
No, phantom. Phantom. Phantom penalties.
To be honest, Gilmore, greatest cornerback.
He is unbelievable.
Shut down. Amari Cooper looked like he wanted to cry.
Zero catches, Wayne, for 0 yards are Amari Cooper. Stephon Gilmore is just on a next level. And now you see why the Patriots wanted to give the money to him and not give the money to Malcolm Butler. It makes sense now, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Rick in North Attleboro. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how you doing, Mark? Good show.
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, question for you. Where would you put the – you got the Patriots as fifth right now. Where would you put them if they bought back Antonio Brown?
Number one. Number one.
You think so?
Yeah, number one. That's what they need. That's what they – Rick, that's what Brady wants. That's what Brady needs. That's what this offense needs. It puts him over the top. If you put Brown out there with Edelman, Harry, Myers, and then Dorsett – oh, I forgot about Sanu. Sanu, too. So you put him out – you put Antonio Brown out there with Edelman, Sanu, and Harry? Yeah, number one. Number one.
Okay, well, yeah, but then what about the tight end position?
They just have to – they're sacrificing this year on that tight end position. They don't have anything. I mean, it just – you know, they're going to – Ben Watson, it's all they're going to get. They don't have a legit tight end. They should have gone after Jared Cook stronger in the offseason, but they didn't know what Gronk was going to do. So, the tight end position, they're always going to lose that battle.
Okay, so what's the problem then? What's Weisskraft, holding out on this? Why can't he just admit, hey, we need this guy. Let's pick him up. You want to win football games, or do you want to be a nice, just sit back and be a cheap bastard?
Yeah, well, I mean, Antonio Brown, I think threatening the woman in a text thread was just sort of the thing that hit the camel's back. Apparently, allegedly, the Patriots did not know about the Brittany Taylor stuff at all as well, but they let that go. And I think it was a combination of just – it was so much bad crap happening all at once. Like, every time – you didn't even have to go to bed. It was like Antonio Browngate. And I think Belichick just got – not Belichick, Robert Kraft got tired of it and said, enough's enough, because he was on the team that Friday, if you remember. He was on the team that Friday, and the week after Miami, he was on the team, and then at 11:15 a.m. and then at 4:00 p.m. the Patriots released a statement saying, we have released Antonio Brown. But he was getting ready for the Jets. He was going to make his home debut on Friday, September 20th, and then it was just all cut away. It was all gone after that. And it's I want to see Antonio Brown back, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I just don't see Robert Kraft bringing him back now. Now, you got to wait till the NFL sort of, they have to rule on his situation. They haven't done that yet. 617-779-7937. A lot of calls tonight. Love it. Mike in North Providence is up next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mark. Yeah, the Super Bowl is not won in November. I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen teams. I think one of the key things with the Baltimore is they're kind of confusing teams right now.
Right.
They just don't know how to deal with them. And you know how it is. We've seen this before. Then suddenly somebody figures out what to do. And it'll be a matter of whether or not Yeah, man, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but if that happens, then will Lamar Jackson then make the adjustment? Or will it be a one-trick pony show where once their little secret scheme or their way of confusing people gets exposed, can you like react in a more conventional way? And we haven't found that out yet, but there's plenty of football to still be played.
Oh, of course. Now, absolutely.
You were talking, though, as far as like, you know, where blame is. For me, to be 10-1 with all the problems that they've had and with the really looking like kind of looking from this point forward, you know, if they can stay healthy, get these guys back in there and start developing what they have, I think they, even though it was an ugly game, there were some major steps forward. You could see that they were actually going to get Sony going, you know, now that they have Wynn in there. And I think one of the key things that's kind of flying under the radar here is that Wynn is going to even be more valuable in the running game than he is in the passing game, because he's like having another guard out there. You know, left tackles oftentimes, like last year with
Trent Brown,
you know, I mean, in the running game, like he oftentimes, like he made that initial block, but that was it. Like he couldn't get to the second level. I mean, and oftentimes on these big long plays, you see him running along like, you know, Tooney and the other guys are all putting a helmet on somebody, but not him. He's just this big, gigantic guy running down who's too not nimble enough to kind of make that adjustment and find somebody in space. Whereas I think like a guy like Wynn, he can do more complicated things out of that position.
Yeah, what did you think yesterday of Harry and Myers? I thought, you know, as the Harry touchdown catch was one of the best you're going to see from the Patriots all season long. That was sick. The drop on the sidelines and the one at the pylon, even when Tom Brady was asked about Harry after the game, he was certainly stopped well short of compliment. He talked about that play and he just said, great play, great catch, great play, and that was it. He didn't want to give him, you know, I don't think he liked those drops.
Yeah, but I don't. I thought he was actually pretty positive about it. I think he was positive about it during the week. The key thing for me is he continued to throw to those guys.
He did. He had no choice. No Dorsett, no Sanu. I mean, he got no choice.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Harry caught that touchdown, which in and of itself, you know, sticks out. And Myers made some big catches late because Tom stuck with them. And I think that's going to be the major takeaway for Tom, because I've been big on this. He has to throw to these guys. I think we talked about this, you and I, in the past, where it was almost like he was holding them to a higher standard than he was the veterans. Like, you know, Julian drops the pass, it's no big deal. They do something wrong, it's the end of the world. And in this game,
you
just stuck with them.
Yep.
And you just kept throwing to them. And this is important, because when you get Sanu back out there, you know, the major thing is, and I think this is where you're coming from too, is I want every single guy that's on the field for Tom to be a live target in the postseason. I want him to be willing to throw to every single guy that's out on the field with him at the wide receiver position, so that other teams are not like, you know what, he's never going to throw to this guy, so why even bother really defending him? Because the more you make him defend everyone, the more it's easier to get it to Edelman in the end and to your major targets. So.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the gauntlet. They're 2-1 so far in the gauntlet, and they have Houston on the road Sunday night, prime time, in the NFL on NBC, and then they get Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs here at Gillette the following Sunday. So 3-2 would be fine, but if you get through this 4-1, that's especially with Baltimore right on their heels, you can't afford a loss, because Baltimore is right there, and Baltimore's schedule is really tough too. I mean, they got San Francisco this Sunday at home. I mean, it's a tough game for them. Mike, thanks for the phone call. Nice win for the Celtics tonight, too, without Kemba Walker. So I'll get back to more of your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Oh, by the way, how many people were watching the Patriots-Cowboys game yesterday? I'm going to give you a historic perspective on that. You're going to be like, wow. Yeah. Didn't need to be in primetime, because when the Patriots and the Cowboys are on the field, everyone is watching. And I'll tell you how much everyone is watching big time coming up next. And I'll get to your phone calls as well. If you want to argue with me, I said the Patriots are the fifth best team in the NFL. Feel free to do that. Lamar Jackson keeps doing what he's doing. Brady in the offense, not great, but good enough to get it done. And, I have a stat on how great the Patriots were in terms of pulling the game out, but how rare it was, because something happened yesterday, or excuse me, now it's Tuesday. Something happened on Sunday that's only happened twice since 2004 in the Belichick era. I'll get to that as well. 617-779-7937 and the number to get in, but now it's time for trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What was your view of that?
It was two tripping calls in the game. I get tripped up every time, but I mean, it's cool. I ain't gonna sit here and, you know, cry about it. If the refs want to call, you know, you know, it's all about, you know, what we do.
That was DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys. Certainly not happy with the tripping calls yesterday on Travis Frederick. That I thought they were, that was BS as well. I really did. So, you know, is that why they lost? No, but it was, that actually did. It killed them because it backed them up to the point in one drive where it would have changed everything. So it played a significant part on the second tripping call. The first one, I didn't see it either. And the second one, I really didn't see it. Nonetheless, it's part of the game. The refs sucked this year. They've been, you know, worse than they've ever been. I don't understand. And somebody, please, I've asked this question time and time again. Nobody can explain it to me. How come with all this modern technology and the 836 cameras we have all over the field, including the pylon cam, why is it that the referees suck more than ever now? The referees were better prior to us just having a couple angles here and there. And did they get things wrong? Yes, they did. They got things wrong, but they weren't nearly as bad. At least to me. It seems like the refs suck more than ever now. And then I hate when I hear the announcers who are like, well, the refs are taking so much criticism, but, you know, today they did a really good job. And it's like, don't pat them on the back for doing their job competently. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just please don't do that. All right. Here's the stat I want to give you about how rare the win was for the Patriots because of what happened on Sunday. It's one of those rare wins that never really, truly happens. And since 2004, Bill Belichick has only won two games when the other team has more rushing yards, more passing yards, and the Patriots defense does not have a sack. One of the two games that he won, Sunday against the Cowboys. Again, let me repeat that. Belichick, since 04, has only won two games when the other team has more rushing yards, more passing yards, and the Patriots defense does not have a sack, which, as you recall, they did not get to Dak Prescott all game long. They did not. So that's kind of interesting when you look at how right now it's also an indictment of the Dallas Cowboys. It really is. And I think one of the things that you do take for granted is that, how about this? And this can't get enough publicity. The Patriots became the first team in NFL history to win 10 plus games in 17 straight seasons. 17 straight seasons. Think about that. That's an entire generation. All right? You're like, you could have been born 17 years ago And every year since you've been alive, the Patriots have at least 10-plus wins, including in 08 when they just missed the playoffs because Bernard Pollard hit Tom Brady in the first game of the year for the Chiefs and knocked him out, and that was it. So I look at this, and we all have a tendency to do one thing, and what is that? We take things for granted. Why? I don't know. It's just something we all do. We really do it. And with this run of 17 straight 10-plus win seasons, I don't know what's more remarkable. Is it that or going to 9 Super Bowls in 18 years and maybe 10 in 19 years when this season's over with? I don't know what's more remarkable. I really don't. But they're both very unreal, both of them. And it's a testament to what Belichick and Brady and the environment they've created here. It's a testament to that. It's showing that no matter what, and Belichick said it the other night on his all-time NFL 100 all-time team when he was saying, I believe you can always find a way to win. And that's what he does. How about Dallas yesterday? When the wind is blowing against the Patriots, when the Patriots are punting or kicking, Dallas has a guy way back near the end zone where the wind is clearly nobody on that staff, not just Jason Garrett, no quality control coach, no special teams coach. Nobody said, you know what? Hey, the wind's blowing really hard right now. They're not getting the ball all the way to the end zone. Why don't we bring our returners up a little bit to have, you know, ready? And it's like, you got to be kidding me. Dallas just, you know what the D in Dallas stood for on Sunday? Dumb. Dumbass. They were a bunch of dumbasses. Because they didn't play that bad. They really didn't. But they didn't play, they looked completely unprepared. Totally unprepared. And it goes to show you why, even though the Patriots are the 27th team out of 32 in the league in terms of speed, they always find a way to outsmart the other team and outwork them and outthink them. And I think that's why a lot of people resent what has been the gold standard in pro sports for the better part of the last 18, 19 years. Sustained success at the highest level that can never, ever be duplicated. And they continue to do it. I just see a lot of holes. And I look at this Patriots team, and I wonder how good their record would be if they were in the NFC West with the Seahawks and 49ers. They wouldn't be 10-1 like Jimmy G and the 49ers. I can tell you that much right now. They wouldn't be 10-1. I think they'd be 8-3, 7-4. But they're in a pathetic division with a fraudulent Bills team that's probably going to make the playoffs just because they haven't beaten anyone. And by record, they'll sneak in the back door. They'll win a couple more games and make it in the playoffs, even though they're complete fraud. And then you have the Jets and Dolphins who, I mean, let's just be real. You know, I'd have more respect if Alabama and LSU were in the AFC East than the Jets and Dolphins. I really would. I mean, they're just the epitome of futility. All right, final segment coming up next. I'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Patriots 10-1. Pretty good. Really great. I mean, best record in the NFL along with San Francisco, but I'm not quite there. I still see a lot of flaws, a weak division, the second easiest schedule in the NFL based on opponents' win-loss records from a year ago. So all that's on the table. Whatever else you want to get into. Oh, here's a weird story too. A woman in Texas died in a horrific way that you're not going to want to miss this. And this is not for the faint of heart. That's why I'm telling it at 12:40 in the morning, but I'll get to that now. This actually happened. What the law enforcement down in this part of Texas are reporting. I'll get to that and your phone call, 617-779-7937. Final segment, Mark After Dark on WEEI next. All right, back here on Mark After Dark, Brian DeFelice with the bumper music, the old WrestleMania music. So I hate to just sort of be a grim reaper on this, but authorities confirmed down in Texas, in Anahuac, Texas, that a woman died Sunday morning as she was attacked by wild hogs. Yep. It was, it's unbelievable. The Chambers County Sheriff's Office said the woman identified as 59-year-old Christine Rollins of Liberty was the caretaker of an elderly couple who lives in the home where her body was discovered. Said, we had suspected that. My detectives and the criminal investigation team felt like that's what it was, but it was not something we could even come close to announcing until we had the cause of death from the medical examiner's office. Imagine she showed up, on her time, but then the 84-year-old homeowner went outside and found Rawlings laying between her vehicle and the home's front door, and they found her with multiple injuries to her body. And it just said, basically, these wild hogs. Imagine dying that way. That's your last day on Earth. That, listen, bleep can happen anywhere. I mean, you could cross the street and something bad happens, but imagine dying at the hands of feral hogs. That's sad. The only thing that would be worse than that for me would be dying at the hands, like, with a bunch of rats eating at me. That would be the worst for me because I have a phobia of them. Trevor is up in New Hampshire. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, Mark with a C. What's up?
What's going on?
Hey, there's a fallacy going around New England that Bill and Tom always beat another team the second time around when they lose to them in the regular season.
Right.
But in the playoffs, they have a 3-6 record against those teams.
That's right, including 2015 when they lost to Denver twice in the regular season and the AFC Championship.
So I don't know how this gets started, but I mean, Bill is probably the best coach ever. Tom's probably the best quarterback ever. But if the team beats us in the regular season, like the Ravens did, they usually beat us in the playoffs. So that's the team that you got to worry about is the Ravens going to the Super Bowl because they beat us in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and they've done it twice in New England too.
And they did it by running on us. And they are a running team once again.
Yeah, they are. And they're the best running team. They're averaging over 205 yards rushing per game. I mean, they're just killing it. They have completely revamped and revitalized that it, going to Lamar Jackson, going away from Joe Flacco. They have this John Harbaugh was on the verge of getting fired multiple times, and Lamar Jackson's basically saved his job. He really has.
Their running quarterback has thrown 5 TDs in a game.
It's unreal. He's done it twice this year, too, throwing 5 TDs. Twice.
I mean, they pretty much look unstoppable. It looks like it's going to be them in the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Well, guess what, Trevor? That's the matchup on Sunday.
We get a preview of it.
The Ravens 49ers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Can you imagine that? How about that one? 617-779-7937. Shawnee is up next. What's up, Shawnee?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So first, I just want to say I don't think it had anything to do with the hog being wild because pigs will eat anything, even like domesticated pigs. You have to be real careful when you're feeding pigs in your pig pen because if you fall in, they'll eat you.
No, I know, but they were saying that Deadly hog attacks are extremely rare. A quick online search shows only 4 were ever reported in the United States history prior to Sunday. So this is the 5th one that's ever been reported.
Well, reported, but that doesn't mean
right, right, right. But could you imagine going out that way of having wild hogs like just attack you and bite and eat you to? Oh my God!
No, that would be terrible. But also, if I was a pig farmer and like my kids fell into the pig pen and got ate, I definitely wouldn't report it because also that looks really bad for us because we're pig farmers, you know.
I would hope, Shawnee, that you would report if your kids fell into a pig pen.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I hope you would do the responsible thing, and because eventually, yeah.
If my spouse got eaten by pigs, that might be a different story. But
right.
You're right.
Yeah. If the kids get, I would hope you would report the do the right thing. So what do you got in the Patriots?
So I was just thinking, I'm a Saints fan living in a Patriot world, so it's really hard for me to exist. But I was totally feeling you when you were talking about if they were an NFC team, what kind of record would they have? And I don't think it would be nearly as good as it is. And for me, my big thing about the Patriots is they never have to be good in their division. They just have to be patient. And I think that's what they have over everybody else surrounding them is that they're patient. They don't make mistakes. They don't get the penalties. They just wait for every other team to mess up. So they just have to be more patient than they are good, and they're proving that again this year.
No, yeah, I mean, listen, I would love to see if they were in the NFC, but the AFC is a joke. It's a two-team. Well, I mean, Kansas City is still pretty, but they're not as good as they were a year ago. But it's basically it's a two-team league. It's the Patriots and Baltimore. That's it. There's only two teams that are worth anything in the AFC right now. Kansas City. The defense sucks. They're nowhere near as good as they were a year ago. Ugh. I was just thinking about that woman. God, man, may her soul rest in peace. Stephen Bilricka. I'm talking about the woman who was eaten by wild hogs down in Texas. Stephen Bilricka, what's up?
God, that's awful. I even want to think of that, Mark. I'm sorry. But
yeah.
Anyways, I mean, with Belichick, you know, when he knew what he had in Brady, he should have did his due diligence years ago by signing, just using some draft capital, you know, so Brady didn't, you know, have the cheapest retreads signed, having to throw a touchdown pass to almost 80 different people, you know, he would have 80 different receivers. You know, last year he was probably the worst offensive of his career, right? This year, a year later, it's even worse. You take away Gronkowski, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't you think he's just pissed about like being the Band-Aid on Bill Belichick's roster? You know, when it's third and half to have it, he gets it. He always gets it. And he's a hot beat of this team. I mean, what is Brady going to do? He needs ball catchers. He needs ball handlers.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, Steve, it's like, I mean, here's what makes you more mad. And to me, the win yesterday, pulling it out on defense and then with special teams, that all yesterday's game did is further amplify the need to bring Antonio Brown back.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm not a big fan of what he did. I do feel kind of dirty with him catching touchdown passes. I mean, he's not a real or whatever else. But how can Brady, you know, undrafted free agents, rookies, you know, 32 teams game. But whatever, passed on 250 times or some such stuff, whatever. But anyways, with the now he's 40 years old and people are talking undefeated. Are they out of their mind? I mean, what do they expect from Brady? Brady's not a magician. I don't understand what they think.
And I don't think that it's a combination of Brady falling off or hitting that decline in skills. I don't feel as though it's that. I feel as though it's just been he hasn't had the weapons around him. He hasn't. Brian DeFelice, great job, buddy. You always fun working with you. Good job on the Midnight Express music at midnight, which we love. And thanks to everybody who listened, everybody called. And have a wonderful Tuesday. I'll be back later tonight at 6 p.m. For Mutt at night, 6 to 10. And then I'll be back Wednesday night, 6 to 10 p.m. as well, right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.